Blog Talk Radio.
Heim och kvar i sång i dig, vakna dig och edelig dränge, de höjre nyckeln på havet skri, för dig är sovet i för länge. Heim och kvar i sång i lund, vakna dig och edelig dränge, de höjre nyckeln den hejing hund, för dig är sovet i för länge. Nyckeln han talar till styringsman, vakna dig och edelig dränge, du styrer mitt skip på kristet land. För dig är sovet i för länge. Ik vill med på Kristi lamm gå, vakna dig och edelig dränge, den vene jomfru var villig få.
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for being here at the Mystical Mother Earth Show. I am your host, Golden Hawk. Yep. Golden Twisted Tongue Hawk. And with me is the enchanting and delightful and ever, ever sparkly Janine Kimmel. Welcome to the show, Janine.
Hello. Hello, everyone. Thanks for having me here.
Wouldn't be a show without you.
Thanks. Yeah, I saw Big Hawk today flying right over the car.
Oh, did you? Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Thought of you.
So, pardon?
Thought of you.
Aw. Shucks. Well, and we got our frame today. Janine sent me one of her beautiful prints, the sun with the butterfly coming out of it. And Scott, you know, I was like, hang this, babe. Hang it. Hang it over the bed. And, you know, he was like, you know, maybe we should get a frame for it. And I was like, yeah, you know, like be a grown up, Goldie.
Yeah.
So the frame came today. So yeah, we're gonna hang it this week. I'm excited. And then I got to order Anya's too. Anya's buying me one of Janine's beautiful prints for my birthday. She's already told me to do it. I just have not been on it. Because, let's talk about the week where out of the last 7 days, we've been pummeled by solar flares for 5 of them.
Yeah.
Let's talk about productivity.
Okay.
Everybody who's fallen flat on their face, say I.
I think, you know, it's been kind of a combination for me where I have gotten things done, but I can feel... And, you know, you liked when I said that I have an affection for the sun, and so I was kind of welcoming of what was coming in. And
Okay.
And I love what George calls it, sun consciousness, I believe he said that. And so I was like, all right, sun consciousness, you know. And And I always relate the planet or the archetype of the sun to the hero's journey. So, you know, I guess I think in terms of story. So, yeah, I just feel like, okay, you know, hero's journey. And I think that that's kind of going on where you and I seem quite feisty.
Very much so. Very much so. My feisty has reached the scale of being fierce.
I was going to say the next word was fierce.
Exactly. It's the next level of feisty. I'll share. You keep going, babe. Keep going.
No, that's all. That's all. I just you know, feeling it, but kind of like, I don't know, not thinking it's a, and I don't, I'm not saying you said this, but
right.
not thinking it's a negative thing, you know.
Right, right.
Just sort of, you know, maybe shedding light, blowing up what it needs to blow up, and bringing all that underground up again. And
yes,
you know,
excellent.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I do want to clarify that, you know, when I say I fell flat on my face productively, you know, I'm all hooked up with this, the psychic moon, you know, I'm online, I'm ready to go. And I was absolutely unable to stay online, you know, waiting for these calls for like longer than 2 hours at a time. For a few reasons. And so, you know me, I hate talking about what I couldn't do. Let me talk about what I did. Go ahead.
Oh, no, what you just reminded me of, though, was because I just realized, oh, there it is, because I have a friend who's been trying to call me from Italy, and we haven't talked for a few weeks, and we keep trying to connect, and the only phone he calls me on is the house phone, which is up in my bedroom, which means then I have to wait in that room. And I'm so antsy that unless he tells me, like, within 5 minutes of when he's calling, I can't stay there. I can't stay in the room. I'm like, and we keep missing each other because I'm like, sorry, I just can't wait. You know, it's got to you got to call me when you say, because or don't. You know, it's okay, but I just find waiting in that room in a confined space. I'm antsy. I can't do it. So
yeah, exactly.
So that's probably what you're talking about, because I feel it. You know, I feel that. Call me on the cell phone because I can move around.
Well, I mean, because essentially, I mean, like, some of the rules of this, you know, new endeavor of mine is the phone can't ring more than twice. And, you know, people are paying $2.99 a minute to be a part of this network, and essentially, if they're talking to me, to talk to me. And, you know, so I want to be real conscious that, because I'm doing tarot readings, animal totems and tarot readings. And so, you know, I got my decks are set up, and it's in a, you know, I have a space for it. You know, but because, you know, part of it is, it literally went through my head, like, okay, so I'm going to back up a little. Okay, so the sun flares started, if I'm correct, Wednesday of last week, where there was direct solar flare, you know, material, whatever, photons, electrons, whatever it is, you know, neutrinos, whatever it is that comes out of the sun, we took direct hits, like, 5 days in a row. And the way I experience these hits are, you know, definitely like what Janine was saying. I feel like a pressure, but it's so weird because it's a pressure that, like, for one thing, I've noticed is I'm like, there's no borders, there's no rules in my book when during this 5 days. You know, it's like, if I wanted to get mad, you know what? I mean, because I'll be honest with you, two of those days I had to come home, me and Scott got into a fight, because he said some stuff to me that he says to me, you know, kind of, you know, Scott has his own way of talking to me, and it is not Prince Charming by any stretch. It's more like, you know, Al Bundy. And, but that's his way, and, you know, when he does it with, you know, a little lightness in his heart, we're all good. But when he does it and I have, you know, full penetrating neutrinos coming at me, you know, he was like, are you looking to start an argument with me? And I just went, oh, the hell I am. Yes. Yes, I am looking to start an argument with. I am pissed right now. And I was not saying this with any kind of kindness in my voice. I just blew up. And immediately after I said that, I went, all right, Goldie, it's time for you to, you know, I need to experience this alone. The bombardment of the solar flares, for me, it was bringing up so much sensitivity, and it's an interesting thing because I feel a confidence that comes up with the sensitivity, But I can also tell that, you know, I'm still working out how to gracefully be very confident. Because when I get confident, like the way I was feeling, it's you know, I was throwing the word power around today. Because it is a power inside of me, and I'm not looking to have power over anybody, but I'm looking, forget what I'm not looking for. Let me tell you what I am. I'm looking to have and be in touch with all of my power, who I am, what I am. And I'm not here to focus on telekinesis or reading people's minds. I'm not saying that that doesn't happen. But that's not the kind of power I'm looking at. I'm looking to have the power to harness my frequency so I can create a doorway, so I can go through that doorway into my fifth dimensional self. I mean, that is, that, you know, if you haven't figured it out yet, you know, that's all I ever talk about, because that's really the only thing that's on my mind. And my agenda is to get me to the fifth dimensional realm permanently, though. I don't want to go there, hang out for a few, and then drop my frequency and be back. You know, when it's, and I'm not saying I haven't already experiencing that, because I am, but I'm talking about, you know, the big leap of, you know, I'm gonna walk through this doorway based on that I have nurtured my energy into whatever kind of field, quote unquote, maybe force field around my experience that I can. Now, and I will say, though, I'm happy to come back as long as I stay fifth dimensional, you know, in my presence, or I know that I can be fifth dimensional. You know, as long as it's a choice where I can choose to drop my frequency and come back here, you know, because I admit, you know, there's a few people in my life, I'm 47, that I want to definitely show up and go, you think everything I've said for the last 17 years is a crock of shit? Watch this. And I just want to literally disintegrate and become invisible right in front of their eyes. I admit it. but you know, it's not the goal. It's not the end goal. But and if someone said, listen, yeah, you can do that. Okay, I mean, you know, few people I would like to do that with. But again, so when I'm talking about power, I want to know, how do I harness it within my own field? And for me, what seems to come up with the last 5 days of this solar experience is very much, you know yourself to be what it is you want. You know, it's like I'm very clearly knowing that there's no one here who is going to authenticate my fifth dimensional beingness. I'm going to say I am fifth dimensional. And I know fifth dimensional is unconditionally loving. How can I put this? But I also know that being fifth dimensional is not about, it's not about having a monotone in my experience. You know, I can get angry. This is at least my belief, and you know, I'm going to either prove it to myself or not. But it is my belief, and I should say I don't know this yet, but you know, I want to be fully expressional, and part of an expression for me that feels, you know, very familiar to me in a way that is soulful to me is that I have a lot of confidence in myself, you know, but I see the way people respond when I start, you know, really, because it feels like I open like a floodgate when I'm in that confident, and this energy pours out, and it just often seems to trigger people. And, you know, I'm kind of dancing with the, you know, part of the confidence is really, you know, it's going to sound cold, but, you know, how other people respond is none of my business.
Right.
But, you know, easier said than done on some level. And yet on another level, you know, it's so interesting because, I got a lot of gas today. Pardon me. I'm belching all over the place over here. it's very interesting when, like Crimson Circle did their monthly shout on Saturday, and one of the things they were asking about what self-love is, how does self-love look, and one of the women in the audience said self-love would look like service. And Adama said, service to who? And she goes, service to others. And he went, no, you know, that's a bunch of crap. Mm-hmm. See, those are the kind of, I when he said that, I'm like, I get that, meaning, because there's a border that gets very blurry where people are serving others in order to be loved.
Mm-hmm.
Because self-love, ultimately, love of self, I'll give, the easiest way for me to explain this is, this has been something I have been saying, and then I'll let you talk. I don't want to dominate the conversation.
No, I'm listening.
Oh, I love you, babe. One of the words, or this line has been coming up several times for me in these last 5 days of playing with this solar energy, is that the two greatest teachers we have are experience and example.
Mm.
And that really, you know, I'm holding that as, because, you know, there's so many people, and Janine, we talked about this, about there's people with the mentality that in order to get where we're going, whether it's the fifth dimension or the 12th dimension or whatever, you know, this peaceful space on Earth, everyone has to get there in order for it to be experienced. I don't, quote unquote, buy into that belief.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that I can experience peace on Earth if I myself hold the frequency of the fifth dimension and find myself, you know, in that space permanently.
Yeah, well,
now,
wouldn't that kind of correlate with multiple timelines, multiple paradigms, multiple, you know, realities? I mean, that would make sense. That,
very much so.
But
yeah.
The perception, I mean, you know, this is just, the perception could almost be seen as a certain reality, which then, you know, kind of biases the way something is seen. So if you're, I would say that you don't need 100% or the majority. I would almost say it's individual as, you know, that moving into that place and very, in some way, self-contained.
That's what I'm sensing, that self-containment, because there's power in self-containing. What my visual seems, the power of the sun being self-contained within one being. I mean, that's what I was kind of getting from the new tree. And I realized that's why when I blew up at Scott, it was like, you're damn right I'm looking for an argument. I realized immediately that argument was going to be, quote-unquote, a leakage of my frequency.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I got to go. I went home to be with my cat and you know, just kind of be quiet and by myself and not argue. Because, there's something I believe that there's something really big to that, containing this type of energy. Almost like it's going to be the momentum of the birthing of the inside of my being coming out. You know, and I will not claim to say I know how this is going to happen or how it's going to look, because I don't. But I'm following the promptings of the inside of me. The inside of me basically tells me, don't worry, you don't. The rest of the world, it don't matter what they're doing. The only thing that matters is what you are and who you're being. And, you know, and it's so interesting, you know, now, because for so many years, you know, everybody thought I was a whack job anyways with most of my belief systems. So it's kind of funny now how more and more people are awakening, kind of jumping on the bandwagon, you know, when, you know, oh, you're this, this, and this, and that. And it's like, you know, okay, I mean, that's cool. You know, but how can I put this? I'm just going to be blunt about it. I'm not interested in anybody attaching themselves onto me energetically.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do the work within and the goal is fifth dimension, which simultaneously means the goal is also to be sovereign, I can tell almost immediately, even just on Facebook through a computer connection, I can tell almost immediately when someone is sucking my energy. And as soon as I feel it, you know, it's like, oh, no. We are going to put a stop to, because I'm not attracted to codependent relationships. I'm not attracted for me to save you, especially if the person is actually saying, save me. It's like, well, save your own goddamn self. I had to save myself. You save yourself. And I'll be happy to share with you how I did it. You know, first and foremost, get your ass to the woods and be alone. Okay, that's your first thing. And it's not brain surgery here. It's literally, because it does seem that the wisdom coming through the solar flares is the wisdom. I feel like I'm on some level kind of entering the Carolyn Mace realms of understanding the mechanics of energy. That seems to be what's awakening in this last, you know, bombardment of solar flares within me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's incredible because of, I guess, you know, I feel so confident. Okay, I've done the work. See, I've done the work for so long without really, I won't say not without seeing results. I saw results when I was doing the Holosync. You know, I mean, shucks, I was on a spacecraft. I mean, clearly I was entering, you know, other dimensions and that kind of stuff. But I didn't always have the wisdom. I think it's very interesting how, you know, people, I'll see them on Facebook, you know, with the intentions of, you know, they want the powers,
mm-hmm.
but I'm going to kind of drop back. But having power without having the understanding how to use and or not use it can be very, it can make a vast difference for how you experience power.
Yeah,
because yeah,
I also think
right,
that, you know, yes, yeah, that the interpretation of, like, first of all, you know, there has to be, someone has to have the ability to be comfortable with their power, and if they're not, they're going to kind of, you know, do that thing where they'll play it down and
yeah.
sort of pretend it's
yeah.
not there, and you know that's. That's just as almost, it's almost as irreverent as, you know, misuse of power. I mean, to diminish your power is just another, you know, side of coming, you know, being comfortable with your power, having the confidence to say, you know, I mean, you've worked this hard to build up your self-trust, your confidence, your, you know, your self-reliance, and then to own your power is a really righteous thing in a way. And I think sometimes people think, you know, they really have the wrong impression of power, that, oh, I'll just play it down because, you know, I'll go with the self, the loving thing and serving others thing. And I mean, that's, you know, it's important to have a balance. And
yeah.
Patrick O'Neill in Canada, I remember when I was doing the weekend a couple of weekends ago with him, called Visions of the Heart, you know, and I was very surprised to realize that I ended up really understanding more of the power. And he said, well, that's interesting, because power in his kind of anthropological, you know, belief, he said power sits to the north and love to the south, and the two face each other, and in the center is right use of power. And
okay.
I thought that was interesting, because on my own, I ended up with the concept of power and my own power, and you know how important healthy boundaries were, and which of course to me is the self-contained vessel. You know, that has boundaries, and you know, and then if you want to talk Nassim Haramein, within those boundaries is the infinite going inward. You know, and
right.
so, but I think that it's, you know, I want to say that there's, I don't find anything, I'm trying to think of the word, attractive about people diminishing their power, because that just, why work so hard to clear yourself, to bring up the subconscious, to clear all that, to like pretend you don't have power. That's absurd. And it's kind of what's the word, like betrayal to yourself. You know, and
self
betrayal. So you know, and it's funny because when I think of the sun, it to me it radiates confidence. So you know, for you to be feeling a kind of bathing in confidence, which you know could even end up becoming so strong that you're like, whoa, or you know, it does become fierce, or there is like some, you know, you're having your own sunbursts, you know, where it's like, I think, and if you notice Patrick O'Neill, this is so funny. Patrick O'Neill posted an email to me and to whoever's on his email list about a weekend in knowing, you know, it was Visions of the Heart. So this one is probably Visions of Power. And it's in September sometime. But you're so synchronistic with him. And I actually posted it on my Facebook going, oh, you know, he does such great work. Maybe people will be interested. But it was all about power. So that's no accident that solar flares, confidence, power, solar power, self-contained.
Yeah,
you know, you're feeling it. You know, I'm going, ooh, I don't know, I'm just into the electromagnetic, like,
Well, you're in the field. As you said to me this afternoon on the phone, I walked into my sun, I'm good.
I'm finding that being right with your power is a really, that's what I think, what the thread I'm getting or the seed I'm getting out of what you're saying is that to diminish your power, or when you read into some other people's, what they're posting or whatever, when they're playing down their power, that, you know, that activates me too. It's like, come on, love is important. It's huge. Power is important. It's huge. The balance, the wisdom is important. You know, it's huge. And vision is important. So, you know, put all four of those together and you've got like, as they say somewhere, I don't know, but you know, you've got the four.
Yeah, well, it's like a wheel. Running. That's the medicine wheel. The four directions, the four elements. You know,
or the
indeed.
Four horses running all together. You know, side by side or whatever. But I just want to say on a real friend kind of thing. I called that number today to see if you were on because I was gonna come.
were you? So do they offer the names of who's available?
Yes.
Is that how you?
Yeah, there
were
two people that had like available in green, and I was like, no. I want to see a golden hog is available.
You know, it's so funny today too because I did a reading on myself while I was, because when was I on? I was on I think I was on this morning or no,
right.
Maybe this afternoon. Because I'll be honest with you, I'm afraid to do my first read in the energy of of this solar presence being fired up. Well, no, I'm telling you
you got to trust who shows up at your gate is exactly what they're
right on.
They're what you need and you're what they need. You know,
no,
and
right
that's
on.
Because I'm reading. I just looked up confidence on the online dictionary, and the first thing it says is full trust, and then it says belief in oneself and one's power or ability, self confidence, self reliance, assurance. So I'm thinking. You know, and I was just going, oh, I wonder if she's on. I mean, that would, you know, me.
I love that. But you call me out, girl. Call me out.
Oh,
you know,
I will.
No, but I mean it. Every time you call and I'm not on it, that, you know what that's telling me? I'm missing opportunities, you know, because I'm not, you know, I'm going on. But you can't go on for half an hour, hour, 2 hours. You know, I got to stay on for 6 hours.
I know it's
hours.
Psychic moon, but could it be psychic sun for a while?
Well, if I'm going to make some money doing this, it better be.
Hello,
no,
psychic sun.
Yeah, no, psychic sun. But right on, right on. And, you know, it's interesting because I have confidence in one area of my life, which is, you know, the area of this whole idea that, because I can tell you, it's been in my vision, peripheral or otherwise, it has been in my vision for quite some time, a working fear that I could be, not swindled, conned by a galactic or, you know, an enlightened being could somehow get me on a timeline that I didn't want to be on. And it was a genuine fear for me. And this is basically a fear for me that I'd say I've had probably a couple of years.
Okay.
Since the people I listen to have been saying something's coming down the pike the closer we get in 2012, and you know the pressure is going to be on to basically take the human species and herd them, you know, off to someplace else. It's been like this massive, you know, well, not massive, but it's been a presence for me, and I can honestly say that whatever had happened with these solar flares, I just don't have that fear anymore. I mean, I and it's so weird because the only thing that seems to have changed to give me this confidence is my awareness of my own physical body that tells me, you know, it's my bullshit meter, basically.
Yeah.
It's all that's changed is my ability to sense bullshit. I can't, you know, it's not like I have telepathic abilities or I can see interdimensionally. You know, all these things I thought on this journey I needed to have so I wouldn't be conned or bamboozled. Nope. It really all it's just it's trust, you know, and learning to trust my feelings. Well, this next new endeavor, which is, you know, working with mass consciousness, which I tend to, you know, I work with mass consciousness, you know, like, well, in all honesty, like never. You know, other than going to the grocery store, maybe the gas station, and I don't work with them, you know, I'm just, okay, we happen to be shopping in the same store, but my headphones are on, I do my thing. I have this thing, you know, that I'm a belief that, you know, what I have to share, like I can do this radio show and, of course, people join me if they resonate, and if they don't resonate, they click off and they go someplace else, and I'm totally cool with that. I'm not hungry for numbers. I don't need to hit a certain amount of listeners to feel content in my radio show. I'm here to talk, you know, if it's just me and Janine and one other person, okay, I'm cool with that. So, you know, dealing with mass consciousness from that perspective, I'm still somewhat in my little ball and bubble of who I choose. You know, I'm opening the floodgates with this endeavor. And I'm definitely, you know, I'm frightened that, you know, I'm going to just attract, you know, the wailing, flailing, pissed off human being. And I'm not necessarily so much afraid that they're going to wail at me and hurt my feelings. I'm more afraid they're going to wail at me and I'm going to wail back. Because, you know, I clearly can see it with me and Scott and, you know, just certain energies. It takes a lot for me not to wail back. Now, I'm practicing, but, you know, I wouldn't want to, you know, I wouldn't want my first call, so, you know, I hope it's you, Janine, actually. I wouldn't want my first call, you know, to call the owner of the company going, you know, that Golden Hawk's a real bitch. I don't know why, you know, what she's doing on the, you know, on the line. You know, I just, and yet I realized, listen, I just have to trust that, because like I said, it's learning for me how to handle a certain energy gracefully, and gosh, handling energy gracefully has been an issue for me and or a gift. You know, I mean, I believe everything that challenges us is also an opportunity for greatness.
I can't believe you said that. I can't
believe why?
Because
who am I quoting?
No, because last night, I don't know, I was going, the word is greatness. I'm just there's something about each, whatever greatness we're meant for, that we, you know, and I kept saying greatness. And then I'm seeing Neve today, my friend, and I'm going, and she said the word greatness, and I go, that's the word, greatness. I said, I just, and now you said it. And I'm like, yeah, so it's so beautiful. And, you know, here it is, though. See how perfect the medicine you need is to deliver a powerful message, you know, and you're so capable. You've been doing this, and it's just, you're stretching, and that's why it's uncomfortable a little bit, but, like, that is
right.
So perfect. That is so perfect. But it's really what you've asked for or need to even hone that skill of delivering intuitive wisdom, you know, self-empowering. You're not giving people, it's not like the cheat sheet. Like, here, you know, I'm going
right.
to do the work for you. But, you know, and deliver that with some kind of, grace and elegance, but in your own way. I mean, so, like, this is the perfect thing for you to do. And
right.
and it's,
right
yeah. And, I mean, I don't even for a second have, you know, even think you can't handle it in the way that you want to, and you will. And did you see that Lisa
Yeah, I did. I thanked her.
Yeah.
Well, and, you know, part of me is, like, I would just love the first calls that I get, you know, not to be in the midst of a solar blowout. You know, I mean, even though, you know, there's nothing I don't do that's not balls to the wall. Everything
right,
I do.
Right.
So it really, you know, and I've been dipping on there, because sometimes I'll go on at night, you know, like, you know, because anytime we want, we can be on the phone. And
yeah,
I started
yeah.
thinking about it, going, you know, a lot of the people who are calling kind of psychic hotlines, definitely calling after midnight. They can't sleep. You know, there's some fears running through them. It's like, wouldn't it be great to connect with somebody, you know, like midnight to 4 a.m. kind of deal, you know, where they might, you know, normally get somebody that would just kind of reel them in, you know. I could talk to him and go, you know, no, listen, we're, you know, this is just a matter of connecting to yourself, or whatever I'm going to say.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
whatever
yeah.
the reading is. Because,
No, it's like bring
but,
it in closer.
I mean,
don't, you know, it's like bring
right.
those feelings in closer, you
right.
know. Yeah, you know.
I need to
and,
just get on and stay on, though, and I totally appreciate you, Janine. I appreciate, Lisa, what you shared, and it'll come, and, you know, sooner rather than later, because, you know, I need the money for one thing, and for another thing, though, I need to know that that this is something I can do. I mean, and it's not that I need to know I can do it. I need to know that I can take the opportunity, like I said, and turn it into, you know, because I know there will come a day. This reminds me of, I can always go back to when I first learned to drive. I learned to
yeah.
drive with a standard, you know, a clutch and a stick shift. And I remember saying to my brother, going, are you kidding me? Like, how am I supposed to remember all the mirrors, you know, push the foot down, let go of the gas, push the gas, move the thing, do-do-do-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-do. You know, I was like, are you kidding me? And he was like, it'll all be second nature soon enough. And, of course, you know, I'm, you know, years later. So I can't wait till it's second nature and I got my flow on and, you know, and I get that, you know, I'm just sharing what's going on, and I appreciate the nudge, and by next week, hopefully I will have said that, yes, I was on for, you know, a good 6-7 hour stretch, and I had some calls, and it was a great experience, and including, you know, I might come on next week on the show and go, oh, my God, this guy kicked my ass. You know, he totally didn't like the read, and he told me to go screw. I mean, that could happen. That could
right.
happen. You
right.
know, whatever happens, you know, I need to just get the experience down where I'm talking to these people. So,
yeah, yeah.
That's you know.
Isn't that funny you said greatness?
Well, God bless everything with you. Me and you are on this incredible. This is what I'll tell you. Janine said to me earlier in our conversation on the phone earlier this afternoon. You know, I was like, "How you doing?" And she's like, "I walked into my son." And you know, there's nothing greater for me than to hear that, because the connection we have is obvious. I mean, it's more than just us on the phone. You know, there's a Well, there's just a definite, you know, there's a connection here. And, you know, if she's walking through her son and I'm connected to her, well, I'm walking through my son, too. You know, God bless it. Somehow there's a tether there. And I, you know, it's like, and well, even though, I mean, it's weird because it's a tether, but it's not, it's not a draining, you know, it's not a tentacle connection. Because, you know, you were saying that you went to go see a friend today and you liked her individuality and you know, I can appreciate that, you know, the people I like sharing my time with, whether it's on the phone or on the computer or even on the radio, are people that are, you know, the goal is to go within and connect with their own source of energy so that they're, you know, releasing the codependent relationships and releasing the behaviors that are, you know, giving the appearance that they're feeding energy when they're really, you know, probably draining energy, you know, the sabotaging behaviors and things of that nature. And because there's such a difference in the feel from people who are looking, you know, or who are behaving from a place of sovereignty, than the people who are behaving, you know, I can build you up, because, I mean, truth is, people can build us up, but if they build us up, then what's the polar opposite of that truth? They can tear us down, and God knows you see that enough in Hollywood and all that, and, you know, the tabloids build them up, and then the tabloids tear them down, and oh, I know what I wanted to bring up, too, something that I found interesting this past week. I don't know how many of you guys are familiar with the Project Camelot. Carrie, I'm not sure her last name, but the woman Carrie who is, she's the interviewer, she's basically Project Camelot. She used to be partnered with Bill Ryan. But now it's just Carrie, and Bill Ryan has created Avalon, the Project Avalon.
Yeah.
Well, what was so interesting was, and this partly kind of tipped me, you know, and I say tipped me in a, it kind of put me in a spin this past 5 days, was that I was looking at some of Carrie's interview, the YouTube interviews, since Bill and her are not together. And at present, there is a very hateful campaign being expressed in the comments of her videos. I mean, really. I mean, what similar to what that mob was writing about me when George was on the air.
Right.
But it's like video after video after video. And the reason why it struck me so personally was Carrie interviews on very much of the same styles that I interview and that I am. And they're saying, you know, just shut up and let your guests talk. You know, we don't want to hear about what you have to say, Carrie. We want to hear about what your guest has to say. And I remember when people said that about me and George. I mean, it was clear that line itself was like, oh, bam, you know, and it's like, I can honestly tell you, if I was, I don't know what I would be doing if I was getting the kind of hate mail or hate comments that Carrie's getting, you know, because, you know, she's got a much larger audience, you know, hey, that's awesome. And yet, boy, that sucks. You know, there's definitely two sides of the coin. But I was like, it was something that really started, why it started coming into me going, you know, this is, for me, it's showing up, this is about the being graceful, but there's another side to the coin where it's also that, you know, Carrie doesn't sell herself per se. Like I have another reality show, and that's where I interview people, and I have this show where I'm very clear. You know, this is a show about what's going on in my world and Janine's world, and
yeah, we dialogue.
And we dialogue absolutely. Yeah. You know, because it's just so interesting how people can be, you know, really, really harsh. I mean, I was like, wow, I just would have, you know, if I was Carrie personally, I would have just cut the comments out. You just don't, you know, set the video up and don't allow them to leave comments, you know, because you can turn off the comments. And, mm-hmm. you know, I also gave her credit that she didn't do that, you know, I mean, because this is interview after interview, they're just, I mean, they are smashing her up against walls. And I, you know, it just really struck me as something that I personally, I had empathy with that.
Yeah.
And yeah, you know, and
Can I ask you, you said just, and this is just a little detail that I picked up on that I'm just curious about. You said,
please.
Since you've noticed this since Bill, Ryan, and her, so that she's kind of on her own there. And, you know, she's not with Bill Ryan. He's doing Avalon now. So you've noticed this more hostility since then, or is that just you didn't mean it that way, or you did?
No, I have noticed more hostility towards her interviewing fashion or whatever ways. And it's been in the comments, you know, you lost Bill, you know, Bill couldn't stand you either. And I don't think that's the case at all. I mean, I'm not saying that.
No, I don't either. Because wasn't he on that 3-hour question and answer with Bill Wood?
Yeah.
And, you know,
exactly.
So I think all of that is, I mean, I always pick that up as quite juvenile, that behavior of the mob, like attacks in the chat room. And I also noticed, and this isn't just in chat rooms, but this is with anything. I'm like, unless you've stood in the shoes of someone interviewing someone, I mean, do you really think that you know, it's like, it isn't, I guess it's easy to criticize, but, you know, where are you when you haven't done it yourself? I mean, you know,
right.
Yeah, so I, you know, I do give her credit as well. And, you know, I think she's doing a really good job. I loved those Bill Wood interviews. I didn't, the third one that supposedly had a little bit of awkwardness, I didn't see. And then I forwarded them on to a friend of mine who really appreciated them. And, you know, then you see the woman from Australia,
Lisa Harrison. She's fantastic.
I mean, she's great, and she's just a different style. But, like, I didn't have a problem, you know. And I just honor someone who throws themselves in the lion's den and goes, you know, I'm interviewing these people that she's giving these people who up until that point got little or no coverage, and they're whistleblowers, they're out there on the perimeter, they're courageous, you know. And, you know, I say, unless you're willing to do it yourself, I don't really think you have the right to criticize.
Well, and people,
you know,
did actually write that. A lot of people, there were people that were going, listen, you're criticizing her, but truly without her, the interviews aren't taking place. I mean, Camelot really is doing, because I think on some level, you know, people are so, well, I mean, the obvious is that they're quick to judge. See, this is what I contemplate. It's like, because when I'm in that space of being bombarded with the solar flares, I'm telling you, I'm like, I don't care what anybody thinks about me. I mean, I'm a bull going through a china shop, and I don't care. Then, of course, that energy subsides.
And you're like, oh my God, look at all the things I broke.
I look at my wake, exactly, and go, God bless Goldie. You just, like, you know, you're tearing through. And so I'm conscious that confidence should not, you know, tear through a china shop. But I'm also conscious, you know, like, there should be some level of, compassion, I guess, is the word I'm looking for, that, you know, some of us, at some point, we have to, you know, you got to break out. Because, like, I guess the best way to explain this is, I posted a thing today on my wall about, you know, the truth is coming out. You know, all over the place. There's truth about, you know, our food, our government, you know, the galactics are showing up with their truth, and, you know, the banking system, you know, we're being bombarded with truth.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I was trying to express in this post was that, you know, shit, when I was 18 years old, I was already testing boundaries and authority. I mean, when I was 13 years old, I had my bat mitzvah. I was raised Jewish, and my parents said to me, "And would you like to continue your Jewish education?" And I was like, "Not even close." Like, I did what you asked me to do. Now leave me alone and don't ever ask me to go to temple again, ever. Like, okay.
I like this story.
So that was 13. And by 18, I was, you know, I worked at a bank and quickly, I worked at a bank for 3 years and quickly learned, okay, this corporate stuff is not for me. Threw away the, you know, the banking clothes, put on my sweats and a sweatshirt, cleaned houses for 4 years, and then became a nanny. Now, during this whole time, I am selling drugs. I am not paying taxes. I am truly what I'm learning now at 47. I have learned that I have tested authority, and not from a space of I was panicking, and that was like I had to go illegal because that was the only way I could make money real quick because I had to pay off something. Or, you know, like I've seen people choose the illegal way to make money because they look at it as a quick, fast buck. But if you go into it looking to make quick, fast money, more than likely you're going to get caught. And so what turned into what was just going to be a one-time deal to make quick, fast money, you're now locked up abroad, which was what I got when I watched that show from Nat Geo, Locked Up Abroad. When I was testing boundaries of doing things illegal, this didn't come from a place of panic. This came from a place of, I believe I can do this, and I could believe I can do this and not be caught. I mean, really, that's, I believe I can do that. And anybody that knows anybody who has dealt drugs knows I did it for 12 years. And I walked out when I was done. I mean, I was done. So the truth was I could do it without getting caught. And the reason why I share this is it's not because I'm telling you guys go out there and break laws, even though there is a subliminal. Yes, I am absolutely telling you to go out and break laws. Because there's something about when you test the boundaries of authority from your own perspective. You don't do it to get on top of a hill. And I never bragged to everybody that I was a dealer. I just was. And I didn't drive Mercedes. I drove a Toyota Tercel. I wore, you know, costume jewelry. I was stashing a ton of cash and giving a ton of cash to my father. But meaning it was not about, I didn't do it for the status symbol. Mm-hmm. I did it because I knew I could do it. It was easy. I was already doing drugs, so why not make a whole career choice out of it? But what I'm trying to get through to everybody is now we're in 2012. You know, now we're going through the Occupy Wall Streets. We're going through, you know, the Catholic Church going through all it, whatever it's going through. And people are literally, what are they facing now? They're facing their own authority against the government, the religion, the medical world, the educational world. And if I honestly don't believe if you don't exercise the power to go against these authorities, I don't know how you find out that you can. Because if you wait for someone else to come to you and go, here, it's all safe now, you can go against the authorities, how do you know that the person giving you that get out of jail free card, so to speak, you know, from the Monopoly, do you know that you're not now indebted to them? It's like the only way you're going to know your own power is to exercise your own power. And I get it where you don't have to exercise it by breaking the law, but you have to exercise it by not complying with some sort of rules or regulations. I mean, you have to go against help me, babe. I don't know how to, because I'm trying to get the point. You're not going to know your own strength until you utilize your own strength. And the thing that's so obvious to me now is that the people making the laws, like, you know, I went intentionally bankrupt, and I have said this at a Unity church that I used to attend. And when I said it, we were in a Sunday morning class before we went to church. Mm-hmm. When I said that I intentionally went bankrupt, this woman stood up and literally approached me, screaming at me, "How dare you? How dare you go bankrupt? You know, you're making it harder for me. You stole money from me." And I was like, "I don't know what the hell you're talking about." It's like I basically utilized the credit card company because they were willing to give me cash and I didn't have to work for it. You know, like how the hell she manipulated and turned and distorted that into I was taking money out of her pocket mm-hmm. is beyond me. But what was really noticeable in that exchange was she was pissed off that I played a card, so to speak. My hand, I played my hand. I went, you know, I consciously said, I'm going to go bankrupt, which means I don't care that I'll have bad credit for 7 years. And the reason why I don't care is because I don't own anything. Mm-hmm. If you don't own anything, I have never in my life checked my credit score. I don't care what my credit score is. It has no bearing on my experience. Now, and again, I'm not saying everybody has to be in this space, but at some point, how are you going to, I promise you, your soul will guide you to do things that are really authority breakers. Because from my experiences, you know, the credit card companies, you know, they were intentionally giving out credit lines to people they know who couldn't pay. You know, all to line the banker's pockets. You know, it's like this whole economy is collapsing because it's a fiat economy, meaning they were giving away money that had no reality. There was no reality to this money. It was just a system. And so, you know, I just utilized the system consciously. You know, because the only thing that made me do it consciously was I knew they couldn't guilt me into feeling bad about not paying back the money. I don't feel bad about not paying back the money. Do you feel bad now when you hear about the bankers who are, you know, sitting there in their million-dollar homes or whatever? You know, do you feel bad about those guys, or do you wish them this, that, and the other thing? And I look at them and go, you know, all right, well, when you were there, I played too. You know, really, I don't apologize for this, and I wish somebody, feel free, somebody to call in. The key is to understand when you exercise your own power, see, nobody can take that experience away from me. Hmm. Nobody.
Well,
because
you know,
nobody
first
gave
of all,
it to
I
me.
Think two really good things here, and they're very, very basic, but I think they set a tone and they kind of invite, you know, two things. One is to actually examine what it is to have your own power, because you really need then to be truthful to yourself about the conditioning of what that means and, you know, and really the misuse of power or the corruption of power. And your point about who cares is actually a good thing, because what ends up happening is the bias of saying, well, you did something wrong and that affected us good people. And, you know, the irony is that when the apple carts get all sort of shook up and there's, you know, that's actually when we start growing, society shifts, there's, you know, it's kind of the other word for revolution.
Right.
You have to shake the conditioning. You have to, or you remain a good doer, prisoner of, you know, rules and regulations, when in fact,
right.
I do
right.
think that the true seeker, the true hero, you know, the hero's journey, since we're on the solar theme, because I really think that is a theme. I do. I think that's an archetype we're dealing with right now, that the hero does have to break a lot of rules. Because because you have to break, you even have to break inside rules, as even including outside rules. You have to break and the enculturization and the conditioning to even get close to the true self. I mean,
so you got to crack
open that nut and go and, you know, and just get to the meat of it or the heart of it, because we have been, you know, and it's such, you know, it's one of my favorite subjects, because basically what you keep wanting to do is get down to the authentic self, and it has nothing to do with the conditioning of society or any great hero story from old days or modern days is all about the hero breaks the rules because you have to. And there's so many, you know, in fact, I saw the most beautiful film that unexpectedly captured me last night called Hugo. And, you know, I thought it was about something completely different. And my friend, knowing me very well, said, all she said was, Janine, you should see Hugo. And I just went, okay. So I made a point of seeing Hugo. And the courage, the breaking of the rules that this young boy that ended up affecting in such important ways himself and his own, you know, journey, and then these people around him. It was such an incredible movie that I use language in a way that's my own. And I said this, and I mean this in a really good way, but I love saying it because it sounds, you know, like, oh my God, I go, it's unrecoverable. I can't recover from Hugo. But it was so beautifully done in every way, you know, from storytelling to cinematography to direction to acting, and it took me in, you know, and everybody knows that we are on the hero's journey, you know, and you have to break the rules, and you have to explore your own power, and you have to give up on believing in someone else's power. That's ridiculous.
Yes.
It's absolutely ridiculous. And, you know, and so that scares people, and that's a good thing too, because that's where the courage comes in, you know?
Right.
I mean, why does the hero, you know, get the badge of courage because that's what it takes. And, you know, and so this is where I get, like, fierce and irreverent, because I'm like, you know, break the rules, you know, and whatever that is, you know.
And it's funny because I have a lot of friends whose kids, you know, mostly the moms. The moms know me, and, you know, their kids enter teenage years, and they look at me, and I'm going, you know what's going to happen when I'm with the kids.
Right.
I mean, you know, I'm really going to support them to break out and find authenticity, and, you know, it's such an interesting.
But, you know, the courage and the willingness to give up, to even, you know, I mean, I know people are doing this right and left, so it's not like, you know, I feel like I'm the only one and you're the only one. No, I don't mean that
no,
at
no,
all.
No. The time is so now to be to live like this. Yeah.
But the courage it takes to drop belief systems that no longer serve you, me, or who that person is. It is courageous, and, you know, it's a great day when people do that, you know, and
it's so funny. I just want to say, ultimately, when I first wrote my first check, I had written five checks, five $10,000 checks when I went bankrupt. The first check I ever wrote, I'd had nothing to really do. I knew I was going to go bankrupt in the sense of I never intended to pay it back. That just was not my goal. My goal was to write the check. But the belief that it wasn't about getting it through with the law. I mean, maybe it's because I sold drugs for so long that the law just didn't affect me. It wasn't the authority that made me do, quote unquote, you know, the right thing.
Right.
It was my dad. Because my dad has he has a saying. This is my father's belief in a nutshell. Good credit is godly-like. You know, is you know, cleanliness is godliness. No, my father would be good credit is godliness.
Right.
I mean, he is a financier. You know, he is played, finances is his passion. He's all about good credit. He has said to me on numerous occasions, your goal is to pay lots of taxes in life because that means you've made that much money. You know, if you're paying a lot of taxes, it's because you've made a lot of money. You know, so, you know, he's a good guy. His heart's in the right place, but there's a lot of things, you know, finances aren't my passion in life, not even remotely close. In fact, I look at money as simply a means to an end. Just you know, I'm happy to pay my bills when I have the money. I don't care if I, you know, if my accounts go down to close to zero. You know, I don't, you know, whatever. You know, I'll make money somehow. And I say that meaning it's just a tool for me. Because I remember even when I was hog heaven in total flow of cash, which was when I was selling the drugs, it just never meant anything to me. Like I said, I drove a Toyota Tercel. You know, I never utilized it in the way that you would think people with thousands of dollars would do with their money. I mean, I lived in an apartment. We were still, you know, chilling on lawn chairs in the living room. You know, I was 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. You know what I'm saying? It was just, you know, I was just like, okay, this is what I do, and I make a lot of money. But, you know, it was never, I don't know. It certainly owned me, and the whole environment took me as dark as I've ever been. I mean, drugs of any kind, prescription, I think, if my humble opinion, if you're on the antidepressants stuff, boy, talk about taking you to the far ends of your connection with yourself.
Right.
The drugs in general will help you experience your lack of connectivity with the other realms, whether it's cocaine and heroin or whether it's, you know, Zoloft or I don't know, the other kind, that, you know, the the prescription kind. I don't even know the names of those drugs. And if that's your journey to take, then it's your journey to take. Because, you know, I've been saying, this is another saying I've been saying recently. The treasure chests that I have found in my life have always been found in hell. They have never been found in heaven. I'll utilize my treasure chest in heaven, but I find my jewels and my nuggets in hell. That's where I find them. So how could I ever, you know, not appreciate hell? I personally can't. It's an interesting journey, this hero's journey, because, you know, the good feels bad, the bad feels good. You know, breaking laws has integrity. You know, there are, you know, because, I mean, how many of us have dealt with, you know, somebody with, you know, the words coming out of their mouth going, you know, all is well, and behind your back, they're, you know, underneath it all, they're plotting, you know, lies and deception and, you know, just waiting to pounce on us. You know, in other words, we've all dealt with, you know, with deception on some level, and I nothing is black and white, nothing is as simple to say that, you know, if you did this, you're bad, if you did this, you're good, you know. Not in this journey. This human journey, all of it's valuable, all of it. And if you can find the value in it, I believe that is definitely it's a critical aspect to going beyond this experience. You're not going to, if you don't want to be in the third dimension anymore because you think it sucks, Then the first thing you got to do is learn to accept it. It's like, that don't make no sense. But, you know, that is the way it works in these dimensions. Once you can see the beauty of all the things that piss you off, then you can move beyond it. So,
I think really the ability to, you know, not turn your back on yourself, to really self-confront, might even be the ultimate,
definitely.
The ultimate rule breaker is to, you know, is to really face yourself and look, you know, look what that power, I mean, for me, like you're saying something about power and I'm going, you know, in some ways, what does that even mean? And to examine one's power is almost like you have to break the rules, because from my perspective, how so many of us have been raised, it's to subdue your power, it's to bury your power, it's to, you know, and I'm going, that's like really everything you say, I keep turning it inward, and it's all about, you know, I mean, that's where it keeps going for me, that you're encouraging yourself and me and others to go inward, to discover your power and break the rules, because that's what you have to do. Because, you know, I have this anthropologist friend who obviously was born pretty obviously special and with powers. and her mother said to her, please don't hide your green hair, because they're going to see it anyway. And it was basically, don't hide your power, because it's very obvious. And, you know, I just keep thinking that, I mean, that's what I'm hearing from you. It's like,
Brilliant, Janine. You're just freaking brilliant. And translate my mishmash into eloquent wisdom, because that's exactly what I'm trying to say. Truly, that is what... And you got to experience it. You got to experience it. It's the best teacher ever.
But that's such a cool thing, because it's power. What, you know, first you have to even have the courage to go, oh, what is self-power? Let me acknowledge and examine my power, and let me be prepared, or not prepared, but alert and awake to what emerges. Because hold on to your hat, because, you know, the level of wanting our power, your power, my power, even from ourselves to not surface is it's breaking the rules, and that's what you have to do. And I love this too, because this came out of my mouth today with Neve as well. There's a certain disloyalty to the quote clan, the tribe, the masses, whatever you want to call it, the family, you know, whether, you know, that you discover your power, because basically you are self-individualizing. You are becoming a self-contained, you know, universe. And it's like, wait, that's disloyal. That no, you know. And it's watch me, because I'm going to.
And you know what? I mean, you're right.
But this is the fierceness. This is what people, I see, I like that fierceness, because it's like defiant. It's like when I was a little kid, like 4 years old, my parents walked me across the street and insisted on holding my hand. And I ran back across the street, and I said, I'm crossing on my own. And I was 4 years old, and I almost got hit by a car. And you know what? But I didn't care, because I was like, I want to do it myself, you know?
Yeah.
And it was that feistiness and that, you know, that got me kicked out of Catholic high school. And, you know, that I just said, I'm not playing, but I'm doing it myself, you know? And in some ways, I didn't exhibit that power. You know, and it took me a while. It took me a while to find it.
Yeah.
You know, and once again, break the rules. You know, nobody likes the troublemaker. I had to become the quote bad guy in the family. You know, what do you mean you're getting divorced? Yeah, and you know, even my kids were mad at me. But it's like, I'm doing it, and it's like I had to break the rules. You know, the rules of the good girl. The rules of like. Oh, you know, that's not very loving. It's like, yeah, watch me.
Well, you know what's so funny? How it does seem like the group, the community, the clan, the family, when you're being self-loving, the ones who often don't like it are the ones around you, because it will give the appearance that you're not doing what they want you to do. You're doing it for self.
Exactly, that's a good thing to notice, because you're gonna ruffle the feathers, and you know, you don't have to, like, everybody knew my kids, and they all knew how deeply I loved them, and I was like, and they said, you're ruining our life, and I said, no, I'm making your life better, and I'm doing this for all the right reasons, and I would do it again.
On. Great answer.
You know,
great answer.
And to this day, I know they know that it was out of incredible self-respect and courage and strength, and you know, and hey, that's breaking the rules, you know.
Right. Breaking, well, clearly of the Catholic Church. I mean, they don't allow
but even,
it.
But even in society, you know,
yeah.
even in
yeah.
society, and I really think, not to get too political here, but you know,
don't
look what's
political.
Happening. No, but look what's happening. You know, it's like the women, you know, right now, because it kind of reminded me when you talked about what's her name, the interviewer, what's her name, Carrie?
Oh, Carrie.
I was
yeah.
like, well, that's kind of interesting, because it seems to me right now that there's like, there's pretty much a pretty heavy bias kind of thing going on with women and their health rights, and, you know, and I'm like,
oh,
you
yeah,
know,
yeah.
Yeah, and just
that's
kind of
that Rush Limbaugh, right? That's who you're referencing.
Yeah, that and the whole other, every state's got like these weirdo things going on, and, you know, and I'm thinking, well, you know, just Mother Earth watching.
Yeah, no, and I think you're right on with that. I do. I think the divine feminine is absolutely being challenged more
yes.
than it's ever been.
Yeah.
And definitely, let's keep in mind out there, everyone, divine feminine's in you guys, too. And I know the people that listen to my show get that. So the divine
oh, yeah.
feminine is being challenged in all of us. And it's so interesting how... You
know,
why
not to self-contain it, but to play it down, and it's like,
yeah.
and it won't do that. You know, it's like
it really because and the sun, which is masculine, is pumping this energy in. You know,
yeah.
I can't
energy.
Even stop myself from telling the truth, because you know, I almost, you know, well, because now that you have, you know, the clear definition, because my beautiful partner Janine has expressed that. Thank you. Here's what, you know, I want to make a challenge to you guys, and
okay.
you know, you take it, you don't take it, but here's my challenge: pick a day, one calendar day, for 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
If you think it, you have to express it, whether it's on Facebook, with your family, at your job. There's something profound. Because, like, one of the things I noticed for myself in my personal power is speaking my truth.
Yeah.
Because,
yes, yes.
You know,
so you're saying don't suppress.
Don't edit or suppress yourself.
Yeah, okay.
And you know, at the very least, even if you don't end up expressing your truth for that 24 hours, at least notice how often you're editing or suppressing it, because that's even a start. Because
good
one of the things I noticed, it starts on Facebook, but even like with me and Scott, I'll notice when, like, I'll go to type something and then it won't hit enter. I'll delete it. Well, in these 5 days, you know, I'm hitting it and I'll look at it and go, that's going to piss her off. I know it. I'm not stupid. I know when. And it's not like I'm not calling anybody, you know, out. I'm basically just sharing and expressing my truth without worrying about how they're going to respond to it, meaning how they're going to respond to it. I can sense that it's going to hit them hard. You know, one thing that George Kavassalis said, and I totally resonate with this, is when you're a truth, a sword holder, you tend to, you stab people with that sword. Because I'm pretty vigilant on the idea of, if someone comes on, in Facebook per se, if someone comes on Facebook on my wall and says something, you know, you're kind of open to dialoguing with me. It's my wall.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think we should have to edit ourselves on our own walls, because... you know, it's an extension of self. I mean, and if anything, you would think it's easier because, you know, it's a computer. You're not face-to-face. I mean, as Janine knows, I don't know how many of you guys, you know, listening know, I don't have an issue with confrontation. I don't necessarily like confrontation, but I'll speak my truth to almost anybody about anything. Now, not always. Obviously, not always. I'm telling you, I've deleted my stuff, but I'm starting to come to the space where I want to. I don't know if I allow myself to speak my truth without editing, if I'll refine and distill my own thoughts to literally, you know, kind of purify them, you know, into a more poignant, graceful way to express stuff. Because, like, I listened to Carolyn Mace, who, see, authoritative people don't offend my senses. I know several people who go, I just don't like her approach. I mean, she's very authoritative, and she's rather blunt. I resonate with that because that's just a very natural way. You know, if you ask me, you know, I tell people all the time, if you're my friend, you're my friend because you want the truth in your life, and as do I. You know, I tell Janine all the time on the phone, listen, I'm going to share something with you. Give it back to me straight, you know. If you see me lying to myself, are you seeing me deceiving myself, are you seeing me, you know, being a pushover, tell me. You know, I've had a world where, you know, when you sell drugs, you get a lot of ass kissers in your life. It's so pathetic, but you really do. And I'm not looking for ass kissers. I'm really not. I could not stand if the people in my life didn't tell me, weren't, you know, critical thinkers on their own, you know, with thoughts and comments, and, you know, show me that which I'm not seeing, because I help me see a broader picture. Tell me your truth. Have you ever had a problem telling me something? You know, like, have you ever felt that you couldn't say something to me?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Me? No. I'm. Do you recall any time that I've ever had?
No.
That?
No.
Oh.
I mean, I'm just
no,
saying.
No,
because
I don't recall that at all.
And how many?
No,
and do you have other friends where you sense, you know, you just don't go there? You know, you can go many places, but you know, whatever the certain subject is, it's like, oh, but don't go there.
Well, I have three friends that I could. That I can tell that I truly am myself with, and that's who I want to be around, you know, when I'm not by myself. And then, yeah, I have friends I wouldn't even call them friends, though, where they come in and out of my life, but I can sense a lack of authenticity, and sometimes I come out with pretty tough stuff, but not all the time. Sometimes I hold back. I do. And you know, I'll say things that are kind of flip. They're tough, and they'll kind of laugh it off. But they'll say, "Oh, that person's so nice," and I'll say, "Why? Because they do what you want them to, and that's." But they wouldn't be nice if you didn't. You know, if they didn't give you free dental or, you know, or whatever.
Wow, indeed. Yeah, no, totally. I guess you'd have to have great barter for that to get free dental.
Right. No wonder. No, but I think, though, that you're – no, with you, no, there's a great – you know, you welcome it, and I welcome it, and the best teachers – and there's, like, you know, a handful that I respected them so much because they were – very much like the Carolyn Mace delivery, where they just said it like it is. And
yeah.
I would say that my growing up in my family, confrontation and truth-telling were not really not forefront. They weren't, and that frustrated
okay.
me, really
yeah.
frustrated me. So when I see that, I'm really attracted to it. Because because there's something about it, you know, that just sets everything so straight and everything. You remember when I said I don't think there's any card you shouldn't put on the table, including the suicide card, because
yes.
if we're really being
yes.
honest. Well, that's just like that. I love that we could have those conversations and that I can say that. And like my brother, not the brother that lives with me, says, but my other brother will go, Janine, we're getting old. And I'll be like, what's wrong? You afraid of death? And they'll look at me like, what? And I'll be like, well, what's the problem? You know, and he likes me for that. But my family,
yeah.
you know, they run away from that kind of truth telling, or, you know, just saying it like it is. And
I know
so,
a lot of people. I can't tell you how many people. You know, I feel it when I've said something, and you know, you can feel the energetic wall go up. It just goes zoop, and it's like, and you know, and I'll literally go, okay, conversation over, because it, they just will not, they will not, they won't, they don't want to listen to it. They don't want to approach, you know, to be honest, that was Scott has a lot of that in him. And when I'm in my space of, in my center, and, you know, I'm feeling good, in all honesty, okay, have your walls up. I don't care. I mean, he can still, as long as he's triggering me, I can look at my issues, and if he doesn't want to look at his, that's his option. He doesn't have to look at his. You know, I mean,
yeah.
So, you know, because I think that's ultimately what if you're willing to look at yourself from the space of, you know, the blunders and the foibles and, you know, the pimples on our faces, you know, without denying that they're there, I think there's so much unveiled in that willingness and ability to be truthful with yourself. And again, if your goal is to get to the fifth dimension, it's the only way you're going to get there. You mm-hmm. can't get there, you know, because I laugh because, like, this week particularly, you know, being signed up and yet not being on all the time, not being on most of the time with the psychic hotline thing, you know, yeah. I was really, you know, kind of contemplating so much about, okay, you know, we're in 2012, you know, I just had my birthday, I'm 47. This truth of I am not putting a lot of energy into the material world of my life. I'm not putting a lot of energy there at all. I am allowing everything I do and be to be all right with/and looking at what I'm doing and acknowledging when I'm doing it through fear. So I'm acknowledging that I was not getting on that line through fear, but I'm not making that a bad thing. I'm not beating myself up because I'm in fear. I'm simply going, okay, are you acknowledging this? And the answer is yes, because I said, I'm not going online with the number because I'm afraid to get a negative caller. And what's coming through to me is it's doing the distilling of all of my experiences, because, like, I guess one of the things that I feel like I'm talking myself into a corner tonight, and I don't know why that I'm feeling,
but
that.
You're
but
not.
I'm just,
but you're not.
Okay, thank you. Because I guess, you know, I see a lot in the channelings and stuff. You know, the question always comes down to, what do you want? You know, and I say to myself, okay, you know, I'm pretty set on what I want. But it's so funny, because what do I want? I want to be out of this reality. How do I get there? By totally accepting this reality. You know, it's like I know the rules, and it's like, when you know the rules, doesn't make it any easier, because in order for me to get out of this reality and accept this reality, I can't bullshit reality. I can't use the words that I accept this reality, but if my cells are saying, no, you don't, well, then the cells are going to trump the words. And again, how do I know that? Because I'm honest with myself. I know that. So I have to get my cells to completely and thoroughly accept this reality. So I keep flipping all the beliefs. Like this week, like I said, the belief was, are you afraid to be on the phone lines? Yes. But the belief that I flipped was, but that's okay.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to beat myself up because I'm afraid. I'm simply going to say, okay, try again, you know, in the next hour. See, the best part about this kind of job, try again. Just keep trying, because inevitably I'm going to plug into this site, and someone's going to call, whether it's Janine or anybody. Somebody's going to call, and, you know, so, and, you know, I mean, I'm committed. I'm committed to doing this, and the reason why I share that is because I think it's real important to the distilling process comes very much from a space of, it's not always, you know, we're so in an action-oriented culture that if we're doing something that's wrong, we flip the doing. And I want to emphasize, you don't have to flip the doing, flip the being. And the being is, what's the belief around the doing? Because if you, imagine if all our beliefs made, no matter what we were doing, from nothing to, you know, to drugs or to craziness or running around like a chicken with your head cut off, what if we just made, you know, and again, when I say this, when we make everything all right, I'm talking about this from a cellular point of view. So the only one who can truly know when you hit that cellular point of view is self. And I think, in my humble opinion, that's what the fifth dimension is like. And that's how we can achieve that here.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
once we achieve it here, it'll just become there, which won't even really be there. It'll just be an extension of here. You know, it's like...
I think that's true. I think that's what I feel, you know, and that's interesting because I feel that, I agree with that, and yet I can't really explain it further than that either. But I agree with that. And you know, what do you do with that? I mean, you just be here now. I love that you're saying you're afraid of going. But it's a funny thing. I know you, and it's like, nah, she's not afraid.
Everybody interprets me as fearless, and I get it. Listen, I am quick to babble that I'm fearless.
No, it's just, but I'm wondering if it's like, you know, my true self, my cellular knowing is going, she's not afraid, and I'm actually right. No, because I'm listening and I'm going, her? She, you know, it's like you're so good at responding, and that's all you have to do. You know, there's, you know, it's just.
I'm a head case around this new endeavor. I am.
I like it because.
That's what a real friend would say. Did you hear that, everyone? I said I'm a head case, and she didn't say, oh, how can I help? She said, I like that. This is the kind of truth I love.
Because when Indiana Jones went to get the powerful Ark of the Covenant, he had to go into the snake pit, you know? And it's funny because, you know, there's, you're, I mean, 100% knowing that your first response is going to be, like, really interesting, you know, even if it's just simple.
Right,
I just know it. So I just find it so amazing. Because, everything I know
I like
about
your support.
You, everything
Thank
I know about you is,
Thank you.
Is,
Thank you.
Is capable.
Oh, no, most of it. You know, again, it's just kind of, you know,
yeah,
fear
yeah.
of the unknown, putting myself in a space.
It's,
you know, I mean, it's
me in the magic gown, you know. I found the gown because I confronted the fear of the dark, and you're gonna take that first phone call and listen, and you're going to respond. And that's
right,
it.
And to be honest, I will not surprise me because, you know, in the 6 years that I've been doing radio,
yeah,
I don't think I've ever had a nasty caller. I mean, we had the mob room in the chat room. That was pretty much a first. And so on some level, you know, I'm buffered because you know, I'm not going into, you know, the mass consciousness with my experiences. I really do kind of keep a low profile presence, and like I said, I'm happy to keep a low profile presence simply because I really do understand from my own experience and example, we're a very small group, so to speak, right now. We're not the masses. The masses are clearly not looking, you know, to go within, you know, to drop their material world in the sense of, you know, the goal being to connect with their soul and their virtues. You know, most people, if you tell them, you'll feel 100% better. If they have some sort of, resentment or not, what's it called when you, if someone does you wrong, you revenge. A lot of people are revengeful. And if you tell them, listen, your whole body will heal better, you know, if you let go of that revenge and forgive, and, you know, everything about your life will improve. you know, the first things out of their mouth would be, why should I have to do that? Why can't they do that? Like, you know, like, because they literally look at it, is it work? It's work only because we have been conditioned to be the other way. It would not have been work if all of us had the conditioning from birth.
Yeah.
To live a virtuous life, to show our power and express it with, and not pride. It's so interesting when people say, I'm proud of you.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't always take that as a compliment.
Mm-hmm.
I know they mean it as a compliment, but to me, pride is one of those illusional energies that... It's like with society, you know, pride goes with the, you know, with the bank account, with the,
right.
You know, the aesthetic beauty of, you know, plastic surgery. You know what I mean? I don't know. This is not something you don't do a soul's journey because you're proud. You do a soul's journey because you're really at the end of your rope, and it's the ultimate way for freedom. Because the ultimate freedom is to own everything. And you don't own everything because you're proud. You own everything when you're as humble and as beat the crap out of that you get. You know, it's an end of the rope, because the ego really, from our conditioning, really gives the presence of being the better way. Like, I can remember enjoying hating. I mean, I remember that when I was on drugs. I love to hate. I had a 4-year revenge on this woman who was my roommate. I mean, a total soulmate, but 4 years of obsessive, I wanted nothing more than to take her down. I understand. It became OCD. I mean, it was my obsession to take her
mm-hmm.
down. And then it was like so funny, because I remember the day that I let it all go, because I literally went, I just don't have the strength to hate her anymore. I mean, like, you know, and I, it wasn't that I wished her well at that point. I simply went, I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
After 4 years, I just washed my hands one day, and it was an epiphany, and I didn't even know it. But the epiphany this is what I'm talking about with the solar energy, bringing the awareness of how energy works. Revenge is just draining energy from your own creation.
That's
to
true.
to try and tear down somebody else's creation. And if your focus is to tear down somebody else, ultimately, the only one that gets non-created, so to speak, is you. Because
yeah, it does subvert power, you know, and from yourself.
Tremendously.
Yeah,
tremendously.
And that's so cliche-ish, but literally, you are hurting yourself. I mean,
yeah.
You know, when they go, you're only hurting yourself, and you're like, oh, what a cliche, but it's actually true.
Importance of understanding energy. See, energy...
Right.
Totally
right.
Clears up these. It's not about when people smile and go, "Yeah, hey, how you doing?" And yet your gut feeling is going, you know, you're getting creeped out when this person's, you know, shaking your hand, like, you
yeah.
know, like, why is their word saying one thing but their energy saying another? Well, the truth is, you know, screw what people say today. Follow the energy.
Mm.
The energy will give you the truth. And again, see, this kind of comes almost a full circle. About what I said in my post about trusting ourselves. Trust yourself, you know, because a lot of people are like, you know, we also have a naivety about other people, you know, thinking, oh, they're not thinking anything like that. You know, it was just a bad moment that my belly hurt. It's like, oh, hell no. Yeah, your belly
yeah.
hurt because they're thinking, you know, screw you, bitch. You know, wait, you'll see how I screw you. Whatever. You know, people think that people can't think that way. Oh, yes, they can. Everybody has angry, mean thoughts. Everybody. You know, there are people that go, oh, she wouldn't dare think. Or not that she wouldn't be thinking that. You know, like, I don't know. And I'm like, you know, in my humble opinion, Jesus knew what it was like to be pissed. Mother Teresa knew what it was like to be pissed. That doesn't mean they didn't get over it, but they knew what it was like to be pissed. And if you know what it's like to be pissed, ultimately, you can take that one more step and start doing the revenge thing. I mean, you can.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, any diversion of, like, well, I just think that, you know, I loved what you said. Remember in December, I said, it's Find Your Genius Month, and, you know, we laughed.
Yeah.
So that's kind of fun. But I liked the invitation, and, you know, I always like go and the dare to people to explore what it means to be in your power, because I do think that there's a real I don't think that, almost like propaganda that, you know, to be in your power is somehow hasn't been encouraged. It's not, actually. And I do think that that would be interesting for people to, you know, just kind of explore what that is or what that means.
Yeah.
And then you said, take one day and don't edit yourself. Or if you do, notice when you do, you know. Don't suppress your truth, and if you do, notice how you suppressed your truth, because there is a real, that is a real telling thing. You know, notice how many times you don't say the truth, or you don't
what
acknowledge.
What you want to say. Yeah, what you know, want.
Or when you know something to be true, you ignore it. You know, that's a great, you know, when you, I mean, I've done this where I go, I knew that. Why didn't I listen to myself? And,
yeah.
You know, it was one of those
yeah.
moments where you're like, yeah, why didn't you? And it's okay. And then you go, okay, next time, you know, next time you have a chance again, you know. And I think these are just fun, you know, kind of dares, kind of practices, you know, to have anyone who's listening that kind of wants to have fun with us and, you know, and just practice, you know, what is power mean?
And they're game changers. Game changers in the sense of, you know, I can tell you from experience, when I hit the enter button and choose to send, you know, the post that I know will trigger people, people have unfriended me from Facebook. I mean, it has affected relationships. Now, and it's interesting, though, because... Now, that works both ways. Like, my relationship with Scott, who is clearly not just about a delete button, my ability to speak my truth with him, which is something mm-hmm. that has taken me a while. I have not always spoken my truth with him. I definitely, when I first met Scott, it was interesting because I had never played the good girl to such a nauseating point as I had done with him. And it was funny because he was so authentically being, you know, quote unquote, the ugly person, you know, ugly,
yeah.
dark person. And
yeah.
I was coming across, I can love the dark in him because I'm sweet. And, you know, and it was like, I mean, in our relationship, we have broken up and gotten back together on several occasions over the 4 years that I've known him. And it started showing up this last time when we got together, that it's like, you know, he's been inviting me to express my ugly side for 4 years. And now I am doing it. And the relationship has, for me, has dramatically gone deeper in the intimacy just because it's more authentically being me.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, it's so amazing how that happens, because life will show up to the level of intimacy that you're willing to meet it at. You know, if there's places you won't go because you won't have those kind of conversations, well,
yeah.
then there's, you know, again, it's like when we talked about last week, if you show up early and or on time in life, well, the universe will give you gifts early or and on time. The same thing reflects in the level that we are willing to share our ugly side, you know, because I'm telling you, this whole ascension for me, the understanding for me is really about, inviting the beautiful parts of me back. Well, that's the easy work. You know, it's the fun work. It's the joyful work. Absolutely. But that's not all the work. Then there's the part of inviting the ugly, grotesque,
yeah,
dark aspects of me back home, back into my being. I mean, opening the door, you know, literally inviting them to sit at the table and not asking them to put a pretty face on or,
right,
to, you know,
right, or change.
Or to change in any way, shape, or form, exactly
right,
as they are, to come and sit at my table and know that they're valued, know that they're respected, and know that they're welcome. I mean, that's the unconditional love of this ascension, and that's the piece that I get it. This is the piece that really screws everybody up, that if you're not ready to do that, well, then you don't get to the fifth dimension. You don't get to the fifth dimension saying platitudes. You get to the fifth dimension by opening your door and letting grotesque you come home. And I promise you, every single one of us has not only just one grotesque part, but thousands or whatever, how many aspects. I mean, think about timelines. Every time you think of something, you create a timeline, you know, and how many lifetimes we've lived. And remember, we're just coming out of the dark ages. You don't think in the dark ages we've all played, you know, we all haven't played in darkness? Of course we have. This is why they called it the dark ages. It's like, you know,
yeah,
these, you know, so, you know, this is, again, you know, it's not about the action changing. It's the beliefs around the action changing. So, you know, it's so interesting because when you start genuinely integrating the dark aspects, again, it builds a confidence in you, because when you take your own dark aspect back into yourself, you really don't get triggered anymore by something outside of you, you know, saying nana nana snee snee, you know, you know whatever, calling you names. You know, you want to call me ugly? Yeah, I am ugly. Want to call me a bitch? Yeah, no, I am that too. I mean,
yeah.
There's nothing you can say to me because, yep, I am. I am, and, you know, and there's integrity in owning that, and there's power. And it's not the power over the other. It's the power, I think, in the process of know thyself, which ultimately, again, gets us, you know, fulfills the contract, which then alleviates, you know, it raises our frequency, because there is definitely an alchemy that happens when these pieces come back together, as well as the beautiful, loving pieces. Oh, this is something I want to share. I had this epiphany the other day talking to Dennis on the phone. This is what I'm getting. The Matrix.
Yeah.
The Matrix is very much filled, and like, for me, I always see the Matrix, the way the Matrix runs so much is it's like the hermit, the gerbil on the wheel, on the hamster wheel. And for me, there's this appearance of like, you know, I live in a very, very wealthy area of America. In fact, it's we only are second wealthiest to Beverly Hills on the West Coast. You know, we are the Beverly Hills of the East Coast. So there's a lot of money. There's a lot of beautiful people, not a whole lot of spirituality. And I started noticing that the Matrix more and more is getting distilled into the categories of very beautiful people, very very powerful people, but I'm talking about the power, like the CEOs, the businessmen, you know,
mm-hmm.
the men who drive the Mercedes-Benz, and you know, they're perfectionists, and they're, you know, they're very, they're dangerous energies. They're cold, they're calculated, and they're ambitious. That's the word. Very ambitious people. So there's the beautiful people, the ambitious people, and what's happening is the Matrix to me feels like, it's starting, because of the nature of the Matrix, it's squeezing out, you know, the middle class, middle management, the poor class, the poor. And these are the people who are, you know, whose average size is size 14, you know, whose average looks are, you know, they're just average looking people. They're not ugly. They're not beautiful. They're just, you know, they're not what the the magazines and you see on TV. They're just average-looking people. But what's so funny is as the Matrix squeezes them out, this whole middle and lower aspect,
mm-hmm.
by sheer numbers, it's like we're becoming an organic community of the people who have done the soul's work. You know, we have the compassion. We have the kindness. You know, and the Matrix is just, it's almost like it's becoming, it's imploding on itself. You know, it's like, because the people that are still feeling the Matrix are the ones that really don't feel it all. You know, they're what they desire in life is the material world, the ambition. You know, they can really give a rat's ass about Mother Earth. That's not even a blip on their screen. You know, it's just about, you know, it's that whole factor of, you know, I want more, 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 more because that's my status and that's my, you know, that's their function and their energy. That's where they're feeding from. So it was just hitting me like, you know, in other words, so people, when I say squeezing out of the Matrix, the people losing their jobs, you know, the people,
yeah,
you know, kind of coming out of their mortgages and letting go of houses. And it's almost like, you know, we say that our economy is, you know, going to pot. Okay, that's one way to look at it. But how about if we look at it as, wow, the majority of the world is having a soulful awakening. You know, it's like they're losing their jobs so they can spend more time in the woods, you know, or
take another turn and get off that road and go onto another road.
Exactly,
or,
exactly.
Yeah,
with
yeah,
the potential
yeah.
of community and, you know, and the ones who are still successful in all those areas, you know, they're the sharks, you know, and they're the cutthroat, you know, people who, you know, really just, you know, they're out for their own best interest. And you know what? And so let them all play together. You know, because I was laughing, going, you know,
well,
could I live in...
there's a numbness to that existence.
There
know?
Is a numbness, right?
Yeah, there really is. There really is. But
that's very good, yes.
It's funny, you know, you know when I'm thinking about myself and I'm thinking about what it is to be honest with yourself, and I'm like all of a sudden confronted with, wow, what is it really like to, I mean, I know I've been honest with myself, and I know, you know, I've jumped into many a snake pit and, you know, been burned and come out of the ashes and in the hot kitchen and, you know, really, really look. But it's funny how you can always take it to a new level, because I'm thinking, what a great challenge to for me, or for anyone that's listening, to really start to look at with a whole nother way of seeing, looking, hearing, tasting, whatever what it is. And to me, it's you know, I love the word sober, and it has nothing to do with drinking. It has to do with this ability, like this clearness, that what it would be, what is it to be honest with yourself? Because honestly, I'm thinking about it, and I'm going, am I honest with myself? I'm going, you know, it's like
I think it's good to question yourself.
I feel like just with this show and like the way I've been following you, because that's what I'm doing. I'm like listening, and I'm like all the things that become highlighted for me, or they're words that I catch, and I'm like, and I'm going, wow, to really truly be honest with yourself, it's just another level of dropping in. It's like, and I just see it as a great challenge, you know.
Because
I think that is, you know, if you follow that and you have the boldness and the courage to be willing to go, yeah, what is being honest with myself? I mean, you know, I know there are many people listening, me, you, we've been honest with ourselves to a certain degree, but I guarantee you there's another level. And
I agree, and
I'm like all of a sudden going, yeah, I want to really investigate that, you know. So I'll be paying attention to myself and being very conscious of my thoughts my gut instincts and looking for that honesty, because I am really curious now about that. And you know, it's funny because when I do therapy with people, and there's one person in particular I'm thinking about, I admire this person so much for their complete honesty with themselves. And I go, it's such a powerful tool when you're doing that kind of work, that there's just this honesty, and it, there's not a hiding, and it's so refreshing. And so I'm like, wow, this show has really kind of led me to that place where I want to look at that, you know, and you know, the funny thing is, and be honest about it.
Well, so, you know, what hit me just now while you were saying that is, you know, all the screaming people are doing on, you know, on Facebook with the, you know, at the Illuminati, at the, you know, the dark this, or the overlords that, the reptilians, you know.
But, think about it. If you're honest with yourself, truly, I mean, we're talking now, you know, down in the depths of honesty.
Yeah, okay.
Then what does that mean? You actually, you're almost, I mean, for lack of a better word,
freedom.
You're almost impenetrable to dishonesty. Like you will reject it. It won't even. It can't. It's like, you know, repel. So I think it's a really cool. I really want to look into this. You know, it's definitely.
It's the ultimate power, because you're absolutely right. Because if someone tells you, oh no, you can't do that. You can't stop me from being honest with myself.
It's so good. It's so good. Like, yeah, because look at that. What if that was like, okay, you have one, you know, it's like, okay, this is the one path you can choose. Who can stop you from being honest with yourself? Nobody.
Not a being in all of creation.
Except yourself.
Exactly.
So I think it's a great challenge. I think it's really, truly, like, it's kind of like the path that you go, hey, this is worth following. Because I think you were saying, you know, out there in this artificial world, it's kind of the great detector, you know, of if you can just be honest with yourself, there's not much that can really deceive you. And I think that, I mean,
Nothing that can deceive you. Truly, there's nothing. Because it's exactly like, you know, remember, the Hasim Naramin, what we put into the world is what we get back.
Right. So it's just so cool. And just so, you know, and why I love, you know, you thought you were, I knew you thought you were traveling in all different directions, and I was right there with you, following you, and I was like, you know, you were onto something, and I was just like, just keep going, and I had no idea where we'd end up, but this
Janine,
is why I love it.
You are such a beautiful light. Yeah, you just rock my world. You do. You rock all of our worlds.
Thank you. Thank you. Because honestly, it's like, you know, that's where it is. It's just look for your own honesty. Be honest with yourself, and like, just that's it for now. You know, that's it for now.
It will get us. I truly believe. I mean, it will get us to beyond this dimension. I mean, it will take us to the other, because I mean, what that encompasses is wholeness. That's the unified experience when we'll look at everything, when the dark is no longer shunned, and 'cause you know it's so funny, the perfection, you know what perfection turns into? Just what I was saying about my belief systems about not logging on and being afraid, but not making that a bad thing. In other words, acknowledge the fear, but it's so the perfection is now nothing's a bad thing, and yet, again, ugly can show up exactly how ugly wants. I mean, the fear showed up. Yes, I acknowledged the fear. Didn't beat myself up for it. Didn't go, Change it. Didn't ignore it and not talk about it on the show tonight.
No.
You know, didn't
yeah,
not bring it up.
This is how you hone honesty, okay? And self-honesty is the key. You acknowledge to yourself, I don't think I was honest there. Then your body will actually start to help you. It'll be like, you'll get messages from yourself going, well, I don't think you were honest there. And you'll be like, oh, okay. It's like start a dialogue with yourself because I just really think that that's like, and by the way, and I'll reconnect it back to the beginning. That's where the power is.
Yeah. Exactly. That's and that is a great way. Yes, that is it. Because I'll tell you, you know, we are amazingly powerful.
And we couldn't have planned this for anything in the world.
As our English lady says, 10 seconds.
At 9:59, honesty led to power, and I could never predict it.
Oh, Janine, though, I'll tell you, though, these are the days of our lives. You are brilliant, babe. Because of your ability to follow my crazy, kooky explanations, I'm telling you, the radio show becomes just so much more effective because of it. I'm just so delighted. Yeah, I'm happy, too. I'm happy too. You rock, little sister. You rock.
I'm a player.
You're a player, girl. You're a player. And you're
New Jersey. Well, there's a shout out for New Jersey.
Oh, I love you, girl. I love you.
I love you too.
That was good. That was really
yeah.
Beautiful. I think that's a good place that we should call it tonight. I think you know what I mean? You closed it down perfectly.
Thank you, everybody out there. And
yeah. And where can people find you?
Oh, okay. So I have two websites, jlkimmel.com, K-I-M-M-E-L, and springtreepress.com. And I have books and art and things of interest about my things I do with initiation art that people can do, or email me and ask me questions. And also on Facebook, Janine L. Kimmel, you'll find the under. So,
nice.
And if you can't find me, go to Goldie and you'll see my name inevitably on there.
Exactly. So you can find all the friends, you know, connect from that point.
Yeah.
And and make sure you check out the new my updated website at anotherrealityshow.com, because we have a beautiful banner, a new banner honoring the Mystical Mother Earth show with pictures of me and Janine, and we're really happy about it. And probably by the summer, maybe sooner, we'll actually have a page, the Mystical Mother Earth page, up, and we're hoping to get it, you know, to maybe have it a blogging ability, or where people can leave comments and, you know, kind of, you know, sharing, you know, insights or experiences that you had through the show. Of course, you're always welcome to call in. That's always available. So thank you, everybody. Thank you, Janine. As usual, I was feeling, it's so funny because you just brought it to the end, and now I don't feel so scattered because the way it all gets, comes back together in that toroid. I'm like, wow, that was hot, you know, and I feel good. That's why I was like, don't start
anything
else, Goldie.
Well, you know, when it's in the 11th hour, you got to always trust that, you know. It's like, hey, I don't know where we're going, but we went somewhere and, you know, it all fell into place, and that was fun.
Right on, babe. Totally.
So, all right.
All right, so everybody have a good night. Thank you, Kevin. Shout out to Kevin and Dennis and Simon.
Lisa.
Yeah.
Simon
and
the Lionheart.
And Polar Bear was on for a few minutes. Shout out to Polar Bear.
Wow.
I saw you. Yeah. All right, everybody. We love you, so we'll see you on Facebook. Oh, and Golden Hawk in Facebook. Just look for Golden Hawk and put another reality show, and then it'll pop up. And we'll talk to everybody real soon. So take care, everybody.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. Love you all. Gotta go. Bye.
I'm so glad we had
time together.
before you know it, comes the time we have to say so long.
Bye.
Good night, everybody. Oh, yeah.
I think it's like the youngster over here. What's the worst photo?